So if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is offering a statement of support for journalists after a gunman fatally shot five people at the Capitol Gazette newspaper building in Annapolis, Maryland yesterday. The state's attorney, meanwhile, says there's evidence at the scene that shows a shooter thought ahead, blocking the rear exit of the building to prevent his victims from getting away. And he said today, President Trump did at the White House, that journalists, like all Americans, should be free from the fear of being violently attacked while they're just doing their jobs. Meanwhile, at that same event at the White House, the president was celebrating the six-month anniversary of the $1.5 trillion worth of tax cuts he signed into law last year and kicked in earlier this year. He says it's already generating more jobs and higher pay for many workers. U.S. consumers increased their spending by just 0.2% in the month of May. On Wall Street right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 200 points. This is SRN News.
No active accidents now, but there is a disabled vehicle on Butler Boulevard westbound at Southside Boulevard that's off to the side. Also, traffic congestion on the East Beltway southbound on 295 at St. John's Bluff, backed up to about Atlantic Boulevard. And on I-95 northbound, it's moving slow towards the Bullhorn Bridge and I-10. A good chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 74. Saturday, partly sunny, high 90.
Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show, hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. It's John Beener. Thanks for joining us. Hey, you're listening to Inspiration 316. That's our job, to inspire you with the good news of Jesus Christ, the everyday miracles happening in people's lives, even when they don't know Him. Yep, we're not covering the bad news, who shot who and murdered who and whatever happened to badness. That's the media's favorite subject. It shocks you. It keeps you numb, dull, you know, worried, doubtful. God's got love, peace, joy. He takes away worry. Yep, I heard a pastor say the other day, if you're worrying, you're in sin. Well, that's not a good way to put it, but he's probably right. You know, we're in doubt, you know, and God is about faithfulness, trusting Him. We're about the good news that today's show is called Finding Success. And we've got Jeff Bezos on the lineup today. We've got Janine Turner, the actress. John Rivers, the founder of Four Rivers Barbecue. We've got Jordan Rubin, who founded Garden of Life. And then Kathy Ireland, the model. Very successful in her own business, as well as Tyler Perry. That guy is a phenomenon, and he gives God all the credit. You know, he's in the movies, he's a producer, outstanding person. Got a great show here today. We're going to lead off. Yes, we're going to lead off with Jeff Bezos. Now, Jeff Bezos is the founder of Amazon.com, which they're rocking the world right now. Public company, making a lot of money. I don't know how high their profits are, but they're growing, expanding all over the country. And anyway, he talks about how he got the vision and heart and humble nature to start this business. This is before he is so successful right now, but this is the way God works through. And he's not giving God the credit. And we don't know if that he's a committed Christian. We have no evidence of that. At least I don't. You may have. But the point of it all is that God used opennesses in people to give them visions and ideas. I wrote a book all about this called The Untold Secret, where God gives visions to people who are open and teachable and humble. So listen to what Jeff says in starting Amazon. Let's hear what he has to say.
Almost 7 years ago now, I started this most incredible journey called Amazon.com. Actually, at that time, it wasn't even called Amazon.com. It was called Kadabra Inc., as in abracadabra. That was the original name of the company. And I had phoned a lawyer on the way to Seattle from a cell phone. And he said, well, what do you, to incorporate the company? He said, what do you want the company to be called? And I said, Kadabra. And he said, cadaver? And I knew that was a bad name. We changed it a few months later. The wake-up call that led to starting Amazon.com was finding that web usage in the spring of 1994 was growing at 2,300% a year. And things just do not grow that fast. Outside of, I guess, usually like petri dishes or something. I mean, it's a very, very unusual growth rate. And you could tell anecdotally, even though there wasn't good research on this at the time, that the baseline of web usage wasn't trivial. And so something with a non-trivial baseline growing at 2,300% a year is clearly going to be everywhere tomorrow. And so the question was, what kind of business plan would make sense in the context of that growth? And I went through a whole bunch of different things, made a list of 20 different products, looking for the first best product to sell online. Came up with books for a bunch of reasons, but primarily because books are very unusual in one respect, and that is that there are more of them than there are products of any other category. So there are literally millions of different books in print at any given time, and computers are good at organizing such large selections of products, and you could build something online that literally couldn't be built any other way. You couldn't have a physical world bookstore or a paper catalog with millions of different books. And the primitive technology that was the web in 1994 clearly required that kind of characteristic for a business. It had to be something that could only be done in that way. So that's what led to books. When I decided to do this, I first talked to my wife, who is sitting here in the audience, and she had married a relatively stable, goofy, but still relatively stable, a person working at a Wall Street firm. I worked at a quantitative hedge fund, and this was a hard decision. And I was looking for the right framework in which to make that kind of important decision. And the right framework I found is a regret minimization framework. And so that's just a nerdy way of saying that you want to project yourself to age 80, and then think back over your life. And if you're 80, what are the you want to minimize the number of regrets you have throughout that period of time. I think this is something a lot of people do, subconsciously. Very few people probably name it regret minimization framework, because most people are healthier than that. but it was a very clear way for me to think about making that kind of life decision. And the way it helped was, I thought, okay, if I go do this thing and participate in this thing called the internet that I genuinely believe is going to be a big deal, and if I fail, am I going to regret having tried and failed? And I knew the answer to that was no. But I also knew that if I didn't try, that I would always regret that. I would always wonder, and it would haunt me until that mythical day, which I actually hope will come. My wife is trying to get me to eat better. One of her heroes is Dr. Weil. So if you're in the audience, your dietary constraints are currently being inflicted upon me. But I suspect it may help me over the long term. And so that was how the decision was made to go do this. And there are just literally tons of stories about the early days of getting Amazon.com set up. We spent about a year building the software infrastructure and getting all the vendor relationships in place and so on and so on. The day before we were ready to launch the store in July of 1995, one of the software engineers, we were looking at our little 400 square foot distribution center. And I remember very clearly this person looked at this. 400 square feet is about the size of one car garage. So it was a kind of a toy distribution center, and although there were real software systems behind it. And he said, he looked at this little space, and he said, I can't figure out if this is incredibly optimistic were hopelessly pathetic. And indeed, we didn't know. There really was no way to know how customers were going to adopt this kind of technology in these very early days. There was a lot of risk involved. In fact, also in the audience today are my parents, who were the original funders of Amazon.com. They invested about $300,000, which is roughly their, was a reasonably large fraction of their life savings. And my dad's first question was, "What's the internet?" So they were not, betting on the concept or the idea. They were betting on their son. I told him I thought there was a 70% chance they would lose their entire investment. That was an important disclosure because I wanted to be able to go home for Thanksgiving dinner no matter what happened. I'm very happy that that investment has worked out very well for them. But it was I was giving myself triple the normal odds. Startup companies are very tricky things, and fewer than 10% of them actually go on to make any return on an investment at all. And so I was giving myself a 30% chance, and just wildly overconfident. But things actually worked out. The planets aligned in those early days. And startup companies need early planetary alignment because there are so many things that can go wrong. And when we launched that store in July of 1995, we were shocked at the customer response. Literally in the first 30 days, we had orders from all 50 states and 45 different countries. And we were woefully unprepared from an operational point of view to handle that kind of volume. And in fact, we quickly expanded. We talked to our landlord and we expanded into a 2,000 square foot basement warehouse space that had 6-foot ceilings. One of our 10 employees was 6'2". He went around like this the whole time, and we were doing our day jobs, which might have been computer programming and all the different things that 10 people will do in a little tiny startup company, and then we would spend all afternoon and into the wee hours of the morning packing up the orders and shipping them out.
That's Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. This is so biblical when you look back at it, because God is imprinted in every person's heart. What are you going to say when you get to heaven? And every one of us want to hear, "Well done, thou faithful servant." So he was looking back on his life and say, "Well, by the time I'm 80, what will I have accomplished?" Trying is critical, he said. That's what God wants as well. He wants you to take risks. Get out of the boat, walk on the water with Jesus, pursue his calling and purpose in you. Here's Janine Turner, movie actress, hit TV show about Alaska. I don't recall the name right now, but she is one beautiful woman and with lots of energy. This is a testimony under I Am Second. Listen to what she has to say about her up and down
like
journey.
Show business, at least in my life. One rejection after another rejection, people looking at their watches and just going, next. But there was pressure. There was a lot of pressure. No, I don't think you're right. Pressure. Next. It's a lot of auditions. It's thousands of auditions. It's thousands and thousands of no's. What was to keep me from going off the deep end? From feeling insecure and feeling less than? You're not tall enough. You're not smart enough, thin enough, fat enough, whatever it was. It was always something. We all deal with it, no matter what career we're in, no matter what we do. But nothing in my journey of my life in any area has been easy. And I think in that respect, it's chiseled my character. Because until I've been in those deep, dark holes and reached up for the hand of God, I can't really know who I am as a person. So I was dealing with some of these, what I like to call my 10,000 no's, and I started to drink alcohol. And it was alcohol to deal with stress. It was affecting my life, and I had seen it affect my family as well. The interesting thing about alcohol is the devil likes it a lot. now all of a sudden, I can like entice, I can tempt, I can do whatever I want when this person's drinking all this alcohol. At this time, I became engaged to a fellow actor named Alec Baldwin. It didn't work out. And I was devastated, but I knew there was a reason for it. It was through my engagement to Alec that I learned about the sickness of the disease. It was something that goes way back in my family history, but I was a blackout drinker, which means that I'd be functioning, but I wouldn't know what I was saying. I wouldn't know what I was saying or what I was doing. What I believe is that though the devil was trying to get me down, God wouldn't let him. Because when I was 23 years old, I got sober. So my sobriety was filled with, my knees would shake, I'd be in horrible black holes, but I showed up. And I think a big part for me in my Christian journey is showing up for what God wants me to show up for. The irony of it all, that the worst thing, what you would think, what I would think, what I thought, was the worst thing that could have ever happened to me turned out to be the best thing that could have happened to me. Because I just thought I had a relationship with God. And to me, life is a series of openings of chapters to God. I was baptized when I was little. I knew God was with me. And now, I went to the dark side for a while with the drinking, but God didn't give up on me. He didn't give me more than I could handle. I didn't give up before the miracle. And I'm so grateful by what Jesus did. Because for what he did, I can keep going. And I can believe in the promise of the hope and the everlasting life, and that Jesus will not forsake us. I moved to New York City because I was going to be an actress. I wanted to be a good actress, and I wanted to study method acting, and I wanted to be able to respect myself. Show up 4 auditions a day, 5 auditions a day. No. I was now 27 years old. I had another bottom, another deep black hole. How much rejection can a person take? I mean, just to continue to believe in myself. I hear no at every angle. I have such rejection. God, what am I doing? What do I do? And I just remember sobbing. And I'm crying so hard. So I went back to my apartment, and I got this, I kind of like barricaded my door and got in bed and prayed. And then I get this call for this little pilot called Northern Exposure. Now I'm 27 years old. I walk into this audition and the casting director looks at me and goes, I don't know what the producers are thinking. We saw all of our best talent last week. And I do the audition, and I walk out of the audition afterwards, and I just start sobbing once again down the streets of Manhattan. And I remember hugging the toilet, having dry heaves, saying, I can't do it. And I had to just believe. And I got the job. I got the job. And it changed my whole life. But if I hadn't had God to pull me out of those black holes, and if I hadn't been sober to hear it, it never would have happened. When I look back at all the journeys that I've been through in my life, I realize that so often I just saw the threads, and I could just see this, and I never saw the blanket. God sees the whole tapestry, the whole blanket. And so often in my life, I just see the threads. And what I'm realizing is that God sees eternity in perspective. God sees my whole life in perspective. My name is Janine Turner, and I am second.
Wow, is that a great testimony? I love that. Northern Exposure, that was a show I was trying to think about. She was on that for a long time. That had a long run, and she's the cutest lady, and she's got more testimony than that. But overcoming alcohol and searching God, seeking Him, trusting Him. That's what ultimately gets back down to, folks. Hey, if you want to find success, as we're talking about finding success today, we had Jeff Bezos from Amazon. There's Janine Turner with I Am Second on that testimony. Here's John Rivers. He is an amazing story. He was the CEO of a pharmaceutical company. They sold it, but he loved barbecue, and he was doing it out of his garage, doing it as a fundraiser to help different ministries. And then he just felt all of a sudden, this is a God calling. Didn't stay with a pharmaceutical company. Dan Cathy from Chick-fil-A even helped him, loved his barbecue. And here's some of the knock and sock and problems he went through. Listen, this is a talk that he gave at our Wise Counsel boot camp just a few years ago. Listen into what he had to say.
That all you need is Christ until all you have is Christ. It's true. I will tell you, it really is. There's never a point in my life that I spent this much time on my knees. Never before was I this, even today. I'm not as close as I was during that time that I needed God so much. And what the realization was, is sometimes He puts those challenges in front of us because He loves us.
Amen.
Because He wants us closer to Him. He wants us to turn to Him for the answers. And I'll tell you what, too, what I believe is God is less interested in us fixing our own problems as He is us trusting Him to fix our problems.
Amen.
Okay. All right, now here's the temptation. Okay, because I believe that once you start going toward your passion, Satan doesn't like that. You know, because you're going to start doing what God intended you to do, and that's usually against His will over here. Okay? All right? Now the temptations, now things start happening. All right? Now, we're trying to build this thing, right? And we're at a standstill now. I'm standing, and the press got a hold of it, because barbecues, you know, everybody's excited about that. And it's amazing how many people came out of the woodwork to tell me how and why I was going to fail. Opening this place, the number of restaurant failure rates are so high. Opening a barbecue place, at the time I didn't know it, thank goodness I didn't know it, but there are 92 barbecue places in a 22-mile radius, if I dropped a pin, where we open in Fairbanks, right? Then they found out that we were going to serve brisket. You know, well, barbecue's regionalized, everybody eats pork down here, no one eats brisket. Friends, okay. Then we had, you know, bankers and attorneys telling me why I was going to fail. Then I had, you know, all these great consultants who know the restaurant industry telling me, all, you know, you're on the wrong side of the road. You're going to serve brisket. You're going to make people sit outside in a picnic table. You're going to have them eat on a tray, on and on and on. I'm so thankful that I didn't know what I was supposed to know. And I just did what was in my heart. Okay. And this is a true story. I was standing one time outside looking at it. And I had my hands on my hips, and I'm looking at this anomaly. I don't know what I'm going to do with. And a complete stranger pulls up in a car next to me. You're the owner of this thing? And I say, yes, sir, I sure am. Well, you're an idiot. And he commenced to tell me why I was going to fail and drove away. Now, somebody asked a question over here earlier. You know, you're going to hear advice from all these people. You know what? God speaks to your heart, and He knows all the things that are good for you. Okay? And all the other people around you, you have to laser into that. And I do believe in great counsel comes from equally yoked. And I would not turn to the business folks that I knew. I would not turn to the legal. I would not turn to the accounting and banking. I would turn to my spiritual mentors. And I would seek advice from them. And the answer was not necessarily, is this the right thing to do? It was, how do I line up myself better to hear what God wants me to do in this? Then the temptation came. Now, we're dead in the water. And the phone call comes in from my old CEO, my old boss, who's also my business mentor and my spiritual mentor. He says, hey, John, we're going to buy 3 specialty pharmacies. We're going to create a conglomerate. We're going to base it right here in Orlando. I want to know if you want to be the CEO of it. Right? I am less than 60 days away from running out of cash. Okay? Every credit card I have is maxed. Every line of credit I have is max. Everything is in this store which seems to be dead in the water. Okay? Here, what would seemingly be a blessing, a way out, okay? Here, I know what this income is. I know I can do the job in my sleep. And I know what's going to happen a few years from now when we sell it. Okay? It seemed to be a blessing, but I knew something was not right about it because I was so happy here. Even in the midst of this turmoil, right? And we prayed, Monica and I prayed about it. And thank goodness for her strength, and thank goodness for her partnership. Right? Because she said, you know, if God is telling you to do this, then I trust that, and I trust you. And we made the decision, we're going to continue to trust God. Our first apartment we ever had was $325 a night. We couldn't afford that. Okay? God gave us all the blessings that we had. You know, we believe that he would give them to us again one day if we lost them. And you know what's funny? All the things that we're scared about losing, car, house, the country club, all material things. They weren't from God. Those aren't godly things to begin with, which is a great irony, a great conflict. The things that we fear losing, that fear is what keeps us from our passion. Okay? They're typically things that aren't godly. And the second reason that we decided to go forward with it, we have two children, a son and a daughter. And it was more important to me to demonstrate to them to have the courage and faith to follow God, even if I failed in it, to not have, versus not having that courage to take that step to begin.
Amen.
I called him up. I said no. I told him, thank you very much. And I'll tell you what, looking back, that conglomeration fell apart less than 30 days later. There would not have been a job. I would have walked away from my dream, and I wouldn't be standing here today. Immediately, a week after I said no to him, I still didn't have a solution. A friend of mine who's in a Bible study up in Longwood has a buddy who is a contractor, owns a contracting company. They have two clients, Disney and SeaWorld. He drives from his house up Fairbanks to go up to Longwood, okay? And he drives by this anomaly every day. And in the Bible study, not even knowing that my friend knows me, says to him, he says, something is really wrong. They are having big problems. He says, and I feel in my heart, I need to help this guy. Okay?
Wow.
His name is Brad. Brad stepped in, okay? Didn't know him from Adam. Brad got me to CO in less than 30 days, okay? And to this day has never taken a penny for the work that he did to get me there. Brad has since built all my 5 restaurants and 2 commissaries, and Brad now is my director of development. Something else happened too, out of the blue. We're coming back from the beach, New Smyrna, and I get it back in the truck, and I look down, and we have Bluetooth, and it's a 404 number in voicemail. I said, who in the world's calling me from Atlanta? So I play it, and the message is, Mr. Rivers, this is Dan Caffey. I work at Chick-fil-A. I'm like, you don't work at Chick-fil-A, you own Chick-fil-A. He says, I just want to let you know, I don't know how he got it, I just had your brisket and your sauce. That's the best thing I've ever had. I just want to help you any way that I can. He gives me his home phone number, his cell phone number, every assistant, everything. Out of the complete blue, I said no to the temptation that was put in front of me. I trusted God.
How about that? Trusted God. Put everything before the Lord, because that was what the purpose of. God got a plan for your success, his John Rivers success at Four Rivers Barbecue. He can do the same thing with you. He'll give you wisdom, discernment, knowledge, insights. You just pray. You seek him. Try to travel his ways. Travel the ways that God has and purposes in you. This is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're talking about finding success today. This inspiring stories, inspiring stuff. We got to take a break here. Check on the weather and such. God will make a way. Don Moen, great singing group. Listen in.
He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day.
Look out for an accident on I-95 northbound at the Fuller Warren Bridge. Of course, it's building up there, so you're probably going to have to slow down before you get to I-10. Also, there's a disabled vehicle in Nassau County, I-95 northbound, beyond the State Road 200 Yulee exit. And a report of an accident now in St. Johns County on I-95 northbound. That's the ramp to County Road 210. A chance of widely scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 74. Saturday, partly sunny, high 90.
He will make a way for me.
John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We got a great show here today talking about finding success. And finding success is all about following God's ways, his principles, his ideas, his thinking. He's involved in your life, even if you're not giving him credit, even if you don't know who he is, even if you've never been to a church. God has a purpose in everyone's life. His fun time is living through you, and you saying, thank you, Lord, praise you, Lord, and thank you, and Lord, help me. That's when God says, wow, I'm connecting. I'm loving this. This is what I created people for, to be in relationship with them. I didn't want to be alone creating all the other aspects of the world and universe and everything else. I want to have people I can love and communicate with. God's a spirit of love, truth, and light, and he's involved in your life. If your life isn't connected to him, if you haven't given it to him, he's not going to interfere, even though he's still going to be there guarding you, protecting you. All right, we got supporters on this show, one of which is Dr. Gil Weiss, 80-some years old, still going, great minister, third-generation pharmacist, compound pharmacist, has a real heart to help people, even has a health food store. They are all about sharing the good news of the Lord as well and praying for you as well as helping you find health solutions that can make your life better, easier physically. And God takes care of the spiritual. We have to take care of the physical. So we got a purpose. Thank you for Dr. Gil Weiss being one of our supporters on this radio show. Thank you so much for that. We got another guy here that is a phenomenon story, a guy named Jordan Rubin. This guy is amazing. He had Crohn's disease when he was in college at Florida State University, near death, struggling to find a solution to how he was going to live because they wanted to cut out part of his colon. I had my mom had that surgery, and they took a foot of her colon out, and it impacted her for the rest of her life. It shortened her life. But that's what Jordan Rubin wanted to avoid. So he prayed and prayed and prayed and sought all kinds of different solutions. And we're going to hear part of his journey. It ended up causing him to learn so much through that down experience. It's the way God works. Down experiences teach you more than good experiences do. And so what happens is it oftentimes becomes your calling. So listen in to what he did through this.
In Romans 12:1, the Lord says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, as your reasonable act of worship. Now, some versions say your spiritual act of worship. But many of us don't connect the physical with the spirit. But I believe that God does. And so how many of you tonight are presenting your body on a regular basis as your spiritual act of worship? If we're a gift to God, how many of you are presenting God with your very best? The Lord says in Genesis 1:27 that we were created in his image. Many people today would consider health meaning the absence of disease. That's not the definition. Health is functioning optimally with an ability to perform as God created for us to. Now, I had to learn this message the hard way, and I shared this weekend briefly that 10 years ago, after having the time of my life, being on fire for God, in college, I was in a fraternity, I was the chaplain as a freshman, I was a college athlete on academic scholarships, singing in my church music group, I had a fantastic life. Less than 3 months later, I found myself in a battle for my life. Someone who had never even been sick, suffering from symptoms I couldn't explain, didn't understand, and tried to pretend weren't happening. I was 104 pounds and was hospitalized and diagnosed with an incurable disease called Crohn's disease. I was relegated to my room, constantly sick, 24 hours a day, couldn't socialize with friends, didn't go to church. All I did was travel around the world to clinics and ultimately found myself in a wheelchair. I remember it day after day looking in the mirror, and I honestly didn't believe that that was me. This can't be me. It was horrifying. In fact, Noel has a picture up there, if you haven't seen it. And I want to talk about this because a lot of people look at this picture and they see several things. They see misery, they see torture, they see failure. See, when God looks at that picture, he doesn't see that. God sees the beginning of a great work. I remember by faith asking my mother to take that picture. You have to take it, not when I'm better, right now, because I want to show the world what God can do. That faith is called the... Thank you. Praise God. That is the faith that God says is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not living here. It's living there. And it's living here. And God was faithful to me. And you know what? The day I took that picture, I'd love to tell you that the next day I woke up well. But it didn't happen. Day after day, I struggled. About 2 years into my illness, I had a situation where we had finally come to the conclusion that I wasn't getting well from all these treatments I had tried around the world. And I was told that if I went to New York, I could get a special surgery that would remove almost all of my digestive tract and would leave me partially healthy, but at least I would get out of this wheelchair and be able to live. We were about to go to New York when I got a phone call. It was one of the many doctors and nutritionists that we talked to time after time, but he said something different this time. He said, Jordan, you're not well because you have not followed the diet and lifestyle principles of the Bible. I read this book every day, and by now I had read 300 nutrition books on health, everything I could read, but I never connected the two. I immediately ripped open my concordance, looked for every scripture that had to do with food, health, and healing. But the most significant thing that happened is I turned to my mother for the first time in about a year, and I smiled. And I said, Mom, this is my answer. I committed myself to 40 days of physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional health God's way. And 40 days after that, I literally came out a new person. It was a metamorphosis, a transformation. And for the first time in over 2 years, I had my life back.
Wow, what a story. That guy has been an amazing guy. He started a company called Garden of Life, natural health products, vitamins, supplements to help you, because that is, and they've been one of the top companies in America. I know there's people on the internet, some doctors that want to kind of slam him, his company. Actually, I think he sold the company a number of years ago, but is still involved, written 3 books, The Maker's Diet Revolution, and a number of other things, because obviously there's a number of people that don't want to have natural items, natural food products be the solution. They want to have the pharmaceutical things that people take and that are advertised so profoundly to be the solution. But God's got a purpose to use all kinds of things, especially natural things, for a body that needs to grow and be stronger and find healing. Obviously, there's spiritual healing, there's physical healing, there's things that are best for your body to grow, to mature, to be better, stronger, and all of that. So Jordan Rubin's had a big impact in the health food industry. Here's a woman that's been had a great impact on the modeling industry. Her name is Kathy Ireland, and here's a testimony. She's talking about I Am Second, the pressures again of being a model and having again the right kind of diet, the right kind of existence, and who to trust. And that's where she turned to the Lord finally, to trust him. And she's built a big successful business also in fabric. I think it's in different dresses and designs that she's come up with, and been very successful. But listen to Kathy Ireland's story.
My room was at the end of a really long, dark hallway, and I later learned from other girls who stayed there before me that they referred to that room as the dungeon. And it was in that dungeon that my life would be forever changed. I don't remember a time that I didn't believe in God. Just always knew that he was there, but I didn't know him, and that I didn't know that I didn't know him. As a kid, I would pray at times, but it was about me. It was when I needed something. But there was a part of me that was kind of scared of God. The church that I attended as a child, the leader there would kind of yell, and I didn't feel his love there. I kind of imposed what this man was doing on what God was all about. When I was a teenager, my mom got saved. And mom was really quiet about her faith in the beginning. But I was noticing this transformation in her, and I liked what I saw. I went off to Paris to start modeling, and it sounds so much more glamorous than it was. I was 18 years old, and I was traveling alone. I was staying in a home where I didn't feel comfortable, to the extent that any time I spent in that home, I would basically lock myself in my room. And I later learned from other girls who stayed there before me that they referred to that room as the dungeon. It was the middle of the night, and I had jet lag, and unbeknownst to me, Mom had slipped a Bible in my suitcase. I'd never read a Bible in my life. And it was out of jet lag and boredom and loneliness that I picked it up, and I randomly opened up to the Gospel of Matthew. And as I read, my life was forever changed. I was a rebellious teenager. I was questioning authority. Who really knows the truth? Who really knows what's right and what's wrong? Who's to say? And I knew that what I was holding in my hands was the truth. I think one of the things that grabbed a hold of me was that Jesus wasn't anything like I thought. He wasn't condemning. He wasn't yelling. He was loving, and he was leading. And particularly as a young woman out in the world for the first time, in a world that oftentimes felt dominated by men of questionable character, it gave me such comfort to know that Jesus loves women and honors them. And Jesus Christ became my Lord, my Savior, my best friend. But I regret that I remained such a baby Christian for so long. I would continue to read the Word, but I would just read the same passages over and over. And there were other verses I would come across that I thought, surely it must be a typo, or it doesn't pertain to me, or some justification. And I believed the lie that it was too complicated, or that I didn't need it. Yeah, if you asked me, I was a Christian. He was in my life. I loved him. I had him. But I was trying to mold God into what I wanted him to be, rather than allowing him to mold me into the person he made me to be. One of my sins is the sin of self-reliance, being a control freak. And I think probably one of the most difficult things was giving up that control to God. I was at a women's retreat years ago. And as I was praying, I felt the Lord speak to me. He said, "You say I'm your first priority, but I'm not. I would say that my faith came first, and then my family, but I was putting our kids in first position. And anything that comes before God is an idol, even if it's something good." And I said, "But Lord, you know what I'm going through with three kids, different ages, different needs, the business." I just felt so pulled in every direction. And I just said, I don't know how. And he said, "Trust me in this. Put me first, and I'll give you more time with your kids. I'll give you better time with your kids." And he is so faithful. He's He's just so faithful. For me, I just started getting up earlier and spending time with him, and it would start out gradually, and then, I mean, now I can't get enough. And he's our perfect father. He made us, he knows us. And by putting him first, it's incredible how he equips us and gives us exactly what we need. When people ask me, what are your goals? My goal in life is to grow closer to Jesus each day, to follow his lead for me, to stay on his path, to be obedient, and it's just day by day. My name is Kathy Ireland, and I'm second.
Kathy Ireland, again, incredibly successful model. I'm sure you've seen her picture. She's even been a lot on television, has a line of clothing today, very successful at that. And she says, my number one goal is to get closer to Jesus. This is a little testimony series called I Am Second. That's available. You can watch it on YouTube. Several people have given their testimony there through that, meaning I am second to Jesus Christ. He is number one in my life. He's the one that changes me. He's the one that molds me. He's the one that created me. He knows my strengths, weaknesses, and purposes in life. So that's what that's all about. God has three stages for us to go through: religion, understanding. Yes, he died on the cross. You know, we believe in him. We learn about the faith and the foundation of Christianity through the Word of God, and all, which is good, all great. But there's a second stage of life. God says, give it all up to me now. Give it all up to me. Let me come in and let the Holy Spirit engage in you. Submit your life to me. That's what Kathy Ireland did through the down times, the frustration of it all. And so what she did, God started to reveal things to her, open things up. She had a spirit she didn't even know she had a spirit, but it became active. She started to see things she didn't see before. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the spirit thinks spiritual things are foolishness. And God says, no, no, they're not, because that man has not turned his life to Christ. He may believe in Christ, that he died on the cross and all of wonderful good things, but he's not having the Spirit of God active in his life through the Holy Spirit. When you submit your life to Christ, that's what happens. And so now he sees spiritual discernment, wisdom, discernment beyond levels that he's never experienced before. So this is what God's plan is for us, to get to that second level. I am second. And turn it over to him, get out of first position, get into second position, and then thirdly, third position is being led by the Spirit of God and knowing when you are. And that's where Mark Berkler's course called The Four Keys to Hearing the Voice of God. He said, he was a pastor, but he was struggling for years knowing when and how he was hearing from God. And he would ask people and say, well, you just know when you know what I mean? It's just that profound in you. He said, I don't know. I don't understand. So he spent a whole year researching, studying it. And what happened is that it not only changed his life, but it changed his congregation's life. They learned things they didn't expect to learn because he had dug in so deeply. And he talked to people all over the United States, all over South and Central America, all over the area of Eastern Europe. He studied all these things. And he came to the realization that Christ is the answer to all of these things. So that's what God said. Trust me, to be number one. Hearing the voice of God is all about listening. And the four keys I'm not going to share with you right here, because we're going to have Mark Fickler come talk about this at a workshop series, and we'll be advertising it sometime in the first part of the year. But here's a powerful story of Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry, not only a movie producer, an actor, you've seen him. He's played some of the goofy roles in some of the movies. Great African-American actor, you know, successful But listen to what his story comes down to. Listen to what he said.
You know what the question is that a lot of people ask me all the time? How did you make it? How did you make it? Well, I tell you, there's only one answer for that. And I say this in the press all the time, but people cut it out of articles, or they don't want it printed, or they don't want it said. But the truth be told, it was nothing but the grace of God. Nothing but the grace of God. You can plant seeds all day long. You can go around giving your business card to people. You can go around knocking on doors and auditioning. You can do all of that every day of your life. And nothing, there are for most people, nothing happens. When a seed is planted in the ground, all you can do is water it. You cannot control the sunshine. You cannot control the weather. And you cannot control whether the locusts will come and try and destroy it. All you can do is plant your seed in the ground, water it, and believe. That is what allowed me to be in this position right now. I would not stop believing. I planted my seed. I worked really hard. I had one idea, and that was to do a play. All the other stuff came. My only idea, my only focus was to do my one play. And I knew if I could get that to work, everything else would come to pass. There's so many people who go in so many directions. This week they're doing this, and next week they're doing that, and next week they're doing this, and next week they're going to be in real estate, and the next week they're going to open a salon. And those kind of people are all over the place, and I usually try to get them to focus. Focus on one thing, one area. Put all of your energy into watering one area. If you spread the water across many, many seeds, you don't have as much water for one seed. So focus on one thing. Make it your priority and stick with it no matter what. No matter how many people told me no, no matter how many people lied to me, no matter how many times I put the show up and nobody came. I remember when I did my very first show, I worked my butt off and saved $12,000, tax returns from H&R Block, money. I saved it, worked hard, saved it myself, rented the 14th Street Playhouse, put that show up, thought that 1,200 people would come over a weekend, and 30 showed up, and I knew every one of them. But I didn't stop. That didn't deter me. That was in 1992. 93, same thing happened. 94, 95, 96, 97, up until 1998. Same devastation of nobody showing up in the audience. I was doing one show a year, working with different promoters, trying to get the show up, and nobody showed up. But I didn't stop. And my what I say to you now, looking at me now here, I am a human being. There's no difference between my humanness and your humanness. The only thing is, if you're trying to get there, you cannot stop believing in any way. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody tells you, you have to know it beyond knowing it. And it is a feeling. When something is for you, this is how I knew it was for me. When something's for you, there's a feeling that is deep down inside of you that will not allow you to let it go. It will keep you going when you can't even keep yourself going. That's why the mantra here at the Tyler Perry Studios is a place where even dreams believe. Because there comes a time in your life where you've worked and you've stressed and you tried to get there and you couldn't on your own, but you have a dream. And that dream has to take on the belief for you, because you can't do it by yourself. So what I would tell you is this: don't stop. Narrow your focus to one idea, one, and make it work. That will give birth to all the others. All you can do is plant the seed and water it. God himself has to give the increase. Only God can make the sunshine. Only God can bring the rain. But if you've planted the seed, then you've done your part. I wish you so much success in 2012. Anything you want is possible. God knows I'm a living witness. Please feel me. Please hear this from my heart. Anything you want is possible. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't take the time to send this message to you. Take care of yourself.
Again, that's Tyler Perry, the movie producer, actor, phenomenal success. Made lots of money, but he's finding success was found in Jesus Christ. Seeking God, serving him, doing God's will. That's what happened to me, too. I spent 20 years trying to chase success, I thought it was getting a better job, moving. I moved my family like 6 or 7 times in 10 years. And I was just going from one job to another, chasing success. And I had some successes. That's why I was able to move up the ladder. But the point is that I didn't have fulfillment. I didn't have fullness. It was worry, doubt, fear, anxiety, living on Maalox, stuff like that, until one day, starting another business, God showed me, revealed to me through in a spiritual attack. I saw this demon trying to get me down. What ends up turning into is seeking God, trusting God, giving it all to Him, and He opens a door within 5 days from doing that. That led to a business that I did for 13 years, working with CEOs of companies all over Florida, called the Executive Committee. And it was a joy. It was fun. It was exciting. I had lots more to learn, continuing journey. God then called me to write a book, sell that business. And here I am doing Wise Counsel and doing also this show, Inspiration 316. And I am having so much fun. I hope you guys can see or hear that in me. I'm having lots of fun. Anyway, a lot of exciting things happening. Finding success was today's theme of this today's show. Jeff Bezos, Janie Turner, John Rivers, Jordan Rubin, Kathy Ireland, Tyler Perry. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.
Thank you for joining us for Inspiration 316 and John Beaner. Coming up next, it's First Baptist Church of downtown Jacksonville, here on listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about how to defend the faith without being divisive.
Look at the early church, the disciples, you know, of the 11 remaining after Judas was exposed. All but one died as martyrs. They gave their life for something they believed so deeply in. And as a result, people were moved by the fact that they were so devoted to this. And Paul, who defended the faith and promoted the gospel and all the things that he went through, the stonings, the beatings, the riots. I mean, this guy, man, shipwrecked. I wouldn't travel with this guy. He had all kinds of issues. But look at his testimony, because he was willing to take on the critics and the opponents, and he won many of them over.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ILoveTheTruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. AAA reports nearly 47 million Americans are expected to travel 50 miles or farther from their homes this weekend to celebrate the 4th of July. That would be a 5% rise from last year and the highest number in fact since AAA began its study on weekend travel over the holidays 18 years ago. It will be a record. A few million of those people could wind up in New York. The New York City Police Commissioner James O'Neill promising the department is working overtime to make sure everybody is safe. President Trump says the latest mass shooting has shocked the conscience of the nation. Today at the White House, he referenced a shooting at the Capital Gazette newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland yesterday. The president saying, quote, journalists, like all Americans, should be free from the fear of being violently attacked while doing their job. On Wall Street at the closing bell, the Dow was up 55 points and NASDAQ up by 7. This is SRN News.
There's a multi-vehicle accident in St. Johns County on I-95 northbound at the exit at County Road 210. That's a busy exit, so be careful. Also, another accident on I-95 northbound at the Fuller Warren Bridge. That's off to the side, but traffic is building up on 95 northbound heading toward the Fuller Warren and I-10. A chance of widely scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 74. Saturday, partly sunny, high 90.